We've had a number of studies about denominationalism. Is it right or wrong? And in those studies, we've concluded that denominationalism is wrong without question. That it's a violation of the scriptural principles by which we ought to be guided. We've shown, for example, that denominationalism fosters division, and we read a number of passages that show that division is wrong. And further, that denominationalism is wrong because it follows human creeds, some which are written and some which are unwritten. But in either case, then it's wrong. There are those who add to what the Word of God says, although we've read scriptures that forbid such. And then there are denominational teachings that we'll take away from the Word of God. And although we're told not to take from what the Word of God has to say. And we showed how that there are some that will substitute for what the Word of God says. And then some of these creeds just point blank contradict what the Word of God teaches. And we've shown examples of that also. And then we certainly showed how that human creeds cannot produce Christians. That if we teach what the Word of God says, we'll have Christians, because Luke 8:11, in explaining the parable of the sower, Jesus said that the seed is the word of the kingdom. Now, if we do not sow the seed, the word of the kingdom, we'll not have true Christians. If we add to, take from, substitute for, or contradict the Word of God, which indeed is the seed of the kingdom, then we certainly cannot have true Christians, because, as we learn from Genesis 1, the principle that seed produces after its kind. That's true in the vegetable world. That's true in the animal world. So we certainly will have to sow a certain kind of seed to get a certain kind of plant or animal, as the case may be. And then we noted a number of denominations and some of their teachings, and showed how that these teachings contradict, add to, take from, or substitute for what the Word of God has to say. And that it takes more than or less than what the Word of God teaches to thus have something other than what the Bible teaches that we ought to have, and that's just simply Christians. And I want us to make mention of this. We've noted a number of denominations. And since there are so many denominational bodies, or churches, or organizations, or associations, then there's no way that we could discuss all of them, and we would not want to do so if we could do so, because we'd spend from now on for a number of years discussing all of them. But I would like to just simply read a list of some of the denominations that we haven't discussed, and incidentally we don't plan to discuss them in this study, that you might just see what some of them are. There's one that's called the United Church of Christ. Now, it does not follow Christ, nor is it the Church of Christ, but is called the United Church of Christ. In some cases, to say the least, it is more of a political organization, one that promotes racial prejudice rather than teach what the Word of God has to say. Then there is another denomination that's called Six Principal Baptists. Now, there's a lot of Baptist churches, and I mentioned that when we were studying, you know, the Southern Missionary Baptists, and we mentioned two or three different kind of Baptists, like the American Baptist and so on. But there's what is known as the Six Principal Baptist Church. And then there is what is known as the Advent Christian Church. And then there is the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And then there is just simply the ME Church, or what is known as the Methodist Episcopal Church. And then, of course, there are Lutheran churches, and then there is a church called the American Evangelical Christian Church. There's one that's called American Unitarian. And then there's a church that is called the Anabaptist churches. There, in fact, there are a number of Anabaptist churches. And then there's the Anglican Catholic Church. Then just regular Anglican churches. And then there's different Catholic churches like the Roman Catholic and, of course, the Greek Orthodox. And then there would be the Antiochian Catholic Church in America. And then there is the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Church. There is the Reformed Presbyterian Church. There are churches that's called Unity Churches, and so an individual church would be a Unity Church. And then there is a number of churches, and they refer to themselves as the Association of Vineyard Churches. We have one here in Albertville. You know, when you see a name up, Vineyard, the Vineyard, you know, Church or something, that's what it's talking about. So there's a group of those. And then there's the Bible Fellowship Church. Of course, it doesn't follow the Bible and doesn't have fellowship with God, nor fellowship with true Christians. So the name certainly betrays it. It's not what it claims to be. Like in the case of these other churches, the ones, for example, the Unity churches claim unity, and they do not promote unity based on the Word of God. And then there's several brethren churches there. And I ran into some of those up in Illinois a number of years ago, and there's some up in Ohio and other places, but there's one that's just called Brethren Church. And then there's one called Church of the Brethren. And then there's one called Church of the United Brethren in Christ. Then there's one called Grace Brethren Church. And then there's one called Brethren in Christ Church. So there's a lot of brethren churches. And all of them vary just a little bit. You know, they don't teach exactly the same thing. And then we have what is known as the, and this is a new one on me. It is called Church of Illumination. That ought, you know, that'd be the same as saying Church of Enlightenment. You know, illumination. But they don't illuminate people as to what the Word of God says. And the church, that church does not belong to Jesus Christ. And there is the Congregational Holiness Churches. There are a number of churches that are consider themselves holiness churches, and there's one that called themselves Congregational Holiness Church. And then all of us have heard of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have one of those, I know, in Guntersville. But we have also, I don't mean here, but there's one that calls itself Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church. Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then there's a church called the Covenant of the Goddess. Now, this doesn't have much to do with what the Bible says at all. They have other things that they're more concerned about. And so, but they call themselves Covenant of the Goddess. And then there is Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches. So we mentioned Grace Brethren Church, and so here's an association or a fellowship of those churches that make up something larger than simply just a local Grace Brethren Church. And then here's another new one on me. It's called the Hutterian Brethren. And then these folks are known as the Hutterites. That's Hutterites, Hutterites. Well, there's also one that's known as the Pentecostal Fire Baptized Holiness Church. I'll say this much, that they haven't been baptized with fire, but if they don't change their way, they will be one day. They'll be baptized with fire, but when they're baptized with fire, they won't like it. Because fire baptism occurs at the last day, at the separation, you know, when the Lord will gather his wheat in his garner and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's when people will be overwhelmed in fire, in hell fire. And nobody that understands what, you know, fire baptism is would certainly want to be in a fire, a Pentecostal fire baptized holiness church. Or any other church that would be baptized with fire. Now, I just deny that they have been, but I don't deny they will be if they don't change their way of going. And then there's another one called Pillar of Fire International. Pillar of Fire International. And then there's one called Religious Society of Friends. And this basically, I think, would be the Quakers, the Religious Society of Friends. And then there is Scientology, you know, church. Church of Scientology. A number of the movie stars, you know, belong to the Church of Scientology. And then there's a church that is called the Church of Servants. Well, that's a good thought because all of God's people are servants, aren't they? But here's their official name is the Church of Servants. Now, that's not authorized. And then there's what is called the Universalist Church, which means that everybody will be saved. Now, I don't know why they'd have a Universalist Church. If everybody's going to be saved, you just let them be saved. You know, no use of teaching them, no use of trying to lead them out of sin, no use of trying to deal with them in any way, whatever, just let them be saved eternally because everybody's going to be saved anyway. Universalism. Nobody lost in hell. And if that were the case, why have a church just for that you'd call the Universal Church? But that's what they do anyway. But that's just a little sampling of what we'd get into if we named, you know, a number of the several hundred and maybe even thousands of denominations. But I think all of us can see that God, if he went along with these, all these things we've already mentioned, and then with these churches as well as others that are similar, that he'd be the God of confusion. And yet 1 Corinthians 14 tells us in that God, in verse 33, is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That is, all the churches is made up of saints. He's not the author of confusion. But this is just a lot of confusion, and I don't see how people could get so confused in all of this unless they tried. You know, how could they, their minds begin to get into all that where they'd say, well, I believe it doesn't matter about the church. How many times you've heard somebody say, well, one church is just as good as another one? Sure enough. They never read that in the Bible. They never read a principle in the Bible that suggests it. They read that division is wrong and all these things are division. And so why would anybody ever think that one church is as good as another? Surely not a one of these human churches, these denominations, are as good as the church that Christ built, Matthew 16, 18, and the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, as Acts 20, 28 says, and Acts 5, 23 through 5. I don't mean Acts, I mean Ephesians 5, 23 through 25. And it is the church of which Jesus Christ is the head, Colossians 1:18, and it's the church of which Jesus Christ is the Savior, as Ephesians 5:25 says. So no other church could be as good as the one that Jesus built, died for, is the head of, is the Savior of, and surely he's the foundation of it, because other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. And so I think we can see it's about time to maybe stop on all of those different churches as far as showing their teachings are concerned. Because we haven't gotten the point by now that they are adding to, taking from, and substituting for, and contradicting what the Bible says, I don't think we ever would. But as we resume our study, though, as to why denominationalism is wrong, you know, human creeds and thus denominationalism cannot save us. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Scriptures, can save us. As we, you know, studied this morning about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as Romans 1 in verse 16 says. And we notice how that in James 1:18 it says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. And so we're begotten by the will of God. That's the word of God. So his will is not different from his word. So we're begotten by the word of God. James 1:21, just three verses below that, James says, lay apart all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So the word of God is able to save our souls. And he says, lay aside all these other things and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word which is able to save your soul. We notice over in John 8:32 that Jesus Christ said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And John 17:17, in his prayer to the Father, Jesus Christ said, to sanctify them through thy truth, he says, thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth, and that is that by which men are sanctified, or they are consecrated. They are dedicated, they're set aside to be servants of God, to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so, human creeds cannot save us. And then furthered, human creeds will not judge us in the last day, but the word of God will. Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. And he said, the words which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so that's not what denominationalism teaches. Now, they teach some parts of it, like we said, take some of Bible teaching in the cases that we've studied in detail about what some of the churches teach, but then take some doctrines that's peculiar to those particular denominations to be members of those various denominations. Now notice in James 2:12, James says, to so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Act like you're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Talk like you're going to be judged by it, because you will be. That's exactly what he says there in James 2 and verse 12. Now Revelation 20, and in verses 12 through 15, John pictured this. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which, he says, is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now observe this. Now here's the books were opened. There's another book that is the book of life. Now, they weren't judged according to what's written in the book of life. They were judged by the things written in the books. And obviously, that would be the books that's contained in the Scriptures. It'd be the books that God inspired to be written. It surely wouldn't be talking about the books that Mormonism puts out. It wouldn't be talking about the book that Christian Science books put out or any of these other books we've been reading from. But it'd be talking about the books that contain the will of God, because we're to be judged by, see, the Word of God, the will of God. But notice how that it goes on to say, and the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And death and hell, or Hades, delivered up the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And so, here it had said in verse 12 that they were judged out of those things which were written in the books that had been opened. And this verse says, and they were judged every man according to their works, and so they'd be judged according to their works, you know, when they are compared to what's written in the books of the scriptures. And death and hell or Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this book of life, see, contains the names of those that are saved. And if one's name is not written in the book of life, then he'll be cast into hell. Now, denominationally, it doesn't matter whether your name's written on the roll of any of these human churches, these denominations we've been studying. If your name is written there, it sure won't help you, and it might hurt you a lot. But it won't help you a bit. But we want to make sure that our name is written in heaven. You recall that when Jesus Christ sent the 70 disciples out, and I believe Luke 10, while he was here on earth, and sent them out to preach only to the not to the Gentiles nor the Jews, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he told them, that they were to preach for people to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. And so he gave them power, unclean spirits, to cast them out and so forth. And when these 70 came back, it says they rejoiced because their names were written in the book of life. Now, they didn't rejoice because they could heal a sick man. I mean, it doesn't tell us that they did. And they didn't rejoice because they might raise a dead man, although they may have done that. I mean, it doesn't tell us they rejoiced, they may have. It doesn't say they rejoiced because they could cast out unclean spirits, or in other words, they'd cast out evil spirits, demons. But the reason why that's stated that they rejoiced is because their names were written in heaven. And thus we can certainly see why that would be the case, because if their names are written in heaven, obviously they're written in the book of life. And if one's name is not written in the book of life, he'll be cast into hell. And it's possible for a man's name to be written in the book of life for a while and then blotted out. And that person may be lost. And thus we can see that we need to make sure that we do not follow human creeds, because human creeds cannot save us and human creeds will not judge us. Now Romans 2 and verse 16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now that's Paul speaking. He says that in the last day, really, that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. But it'll be according to the gospel that Paul preached. Not according to the catechism or according to the manuals or the disciplines or any of these other human writings. And so, we understand then that denominationalism is wrong for these reasons. Now let's keep in mind that if a person believes and obeys only the Word of God, that he cannot join a denomination. We taught that in principle when we was talking about the Word of God being the seed of the kingdom. It takes more than, less than, or something other than the Word of God to make a denominationalist. As long as a person believes and obeys only the Word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom, he cannot and will not be a part of a denomination. And yet, oftentimes people will say, well, I think one denomination is just as good as another. I've never argued with that. It may be, as far as salvation is concerned, I think they are. I don't think it matters. If a man's going to be lost, he can be lost in one just like another one. And he's not promised salvation in any denomination. And thus, one would be just as good as another. But when we talk about true churches, then we have to be talking about true churches of God, as 1 Corinthians 11:16 says. True churches of Christ, as Romans 16:16 says. That is true local churches that belong to God Almighty because they follow His will. They belong to Jesus Christ because they follow His will. And sometimes people will say, well, said, how can they be churches of God and be churches of Christ at the same time? You know, over in John 17, in the prayer to the Father, Jesus says, all thine, talking to the Father, are mine, and mine are thine. If they belong to Jesus, if they belong to God the Father, they belong to Jesus Christ the Son. If they belong to Jesus Christ the Son, they belong to God the Father. And so every disciple, every child of God that belongs to God belongs to Jesus. Well, it would follow that every congregation that belongs to God would belong to Jesus. So if it's a church of God, it's a church of Christ. Or if it belongs to Christ, if it is a church of Christ, it belongs to God, hence it is a church of God. Now there's a lot of denominations now that go by the name Church of God. Now, most of the time, most of them will give other little expressions, you know, to show which one they are. Now you have a Church of God denomination of Cleveland, Tennessee. And then you have another Church of God denomination from the same area that has on their name Church of God of Prophecy. So they differ a little bit on the teachings, but not much. There were two brothers, I understand, in the flesh, you know, that got into a dispute and they fell out with each other. And so they divided, and so one of the brothers went out and started another Church of God, but he had to distinguish it from the one already started. I think there's some sort of a court suit over it, and they had to add on to their name something to distinguish them from the other, and so they put on there Of Prophecy. Well, see, there's a little story behind all of these human names. They got them from somewhere other than the Word of God. And when they got, and then if they happen to have one that is found in the Word of God, like Church of God, then it does not teach stand for what the Word of God teaches in all respects. And then we notice, then they won't, we said that in order to belong to denomination, you have to do something other than what the Word of God says. They won't have a person if he just believes and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just don't want him. They won't have him. You know, if you were just a true Christian and said, go to a denomination church, I'd like to be a member of your church, and they start asking, they want to know something about what you believe and all, and you say, well, I believe just exactly what the Bible says about this and that, and just start telling all this you believe. Here's how I believe you ought to, the only way a person can be saved is by obeying the gospel, and here's where the verses that show all that. Well, they don't want you. And you start saying, I believe in worshiping God in spirit and in truth, like John 4:24 says, and here's what we do as truth directs, and start telling what it does. They don't want you, because their creeds and their organizations have set up that instead of, for example, observing the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day, they decide that maybe to observe it once every 3 months is sufficient. Or they say, well, we do it annually. I saw a few days ago on the back of a magazine that I get from the Seventh-day Church of God. It's one of these so-called churches of God that keeps the seventh day, that is Saturday. And on the back, I had a little picture, and it was telling about around it that they were going to observe the Lord's Supper. And right there, it showed a picture of them washing feet. Now, they're going to observe the Lord's Supper, so that means they're going to wash feet. Now, to me, you know, I know why they did it, but that doesn't make really good common sense. If you're talking about observing the Lord's Supper to show a picture of people washing feet, Why not show a picture of people observing the Lord's Supper? No, because they think if you're going to observe the Lord's Supper, you've got to wash feet at that time. And they think you do it one time a year and that's it. Well, that's what their doctrines say. That's what the men who run their organization decided a long time ago that that's the way it would be done. But anyway, if we do just what the Bible says, no more, no less, we'll be just a Christian, and we cannot become a member of a denomination unless we give in somewhere. But let's notice also that since denominationalism is wrong, it has no right to offer salvation on its terms, not according to the Scriptures. You tell me who would give denominationalism, that is a false organization, the right to offer salvation on its terms. Well, nobody has a right to offer salvation on any terms other than just what the New Testament says. Because that's the New Testament of Jesus Christ that was sealed with His blood, that was revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and other inspired men of God. And we don't have any right, nor does anyone else have any right to say, well, now you can be saved if you'll pray through. You can be saved if you just pray that little sinner's prayer. You can be saved if you'll just believe, and that's it. No, see, nobody has that right. If we're following the Bible. I read part of a book and got sort of disgusted at it and quit reading. And it wasn't very long. But it's one that deals basically with, 316. The numbers 316 and what they really mean to us. And you know who wrote that book? Is a fellow by the name of Max Lucado, who at one time was a gospel preacher. And he wrote this book about, Numbers 3:16 and what all it meant. And instead of teaching people what they ought to do to be saved, he tried to teach people is saved by faith only. It's what it all amounted to. Why didn't he write, if he's going to talk about numbers, why didn't he talk about the numbers 238 and tell what they meant? Why didn't you write the numbers 1 Peter 3:21 or Acts 22:16 or a lot of other numbers, and start talking about that? No, he wanted to appeal to the denominational world, and he talked about 3:16, talking, of course, taken from the book of John, so that people could be saved without obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, see. But anyway, people don't have right to offer salvation on any terms other than what the Scriptures say. And then notice also that denominationalism teaches many false doctrines, such as salvation by faith only.